भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। If we're going to have a reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'll need the book to read from. Does anyone have the, what do they call it, tablet or something? I can read from that. Yeah, please give it to me. I don't know. I mean, I prepared a class report, but I don't remember what the number is. 33. Verse 33 of chapter, which chapter is it? Chapter 9 of Adi Leela. Oh, what did I do? What do you do? I went ahead.
That's it. That's the one without the purple, and then the next one is.
Oh, okay. You better stand here, because I don't know how to work these things. So it's chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. Okay, I'll just chant the verse which has no purport. Ebrike ronga hoy shab shocheton barya bepilo shobe shokala bhuvan. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow, they spread all over the world. This is the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then today's verse, which is not available. Ekala malaka rami kaha kaha jabo. Ekala ba koto fal paria bilabo. Translation. I am the only gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? So in this analogy which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, there is a tree which he is cultivating of devotional service, and the fruits are love of God. So he says, I'm the only gardener of this tree. How many places can I go? In other words, I'm only one preacher, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is said to say. It's all allegorical. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? In other words, how much can I do to preach Krishna consciousness alone? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be performed by combined forces. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he laments, how can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute it all over the world? This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. It's the end of the purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly capable of delivering the whole universe by himself. What to speak of himself, even his devotees, even any of his devotees can do so, as is stated by the Vaishnava poet Devakinandan Das. Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare dhare, shakti dhare jane jane. Every one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the power to personally deliver the whole universe. And that was actually seen in the case of Vasudev Datta. devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who volunteered to take on all the sinful reactions of all the living beings in the universe so that they could all be delivered. But even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can deliver the whole universe and he comes into this universe for the purpose of delivering those of us who have fallen into it, and there are many of us, he also acts in many ways as if he was incapable. He acts as a human being. Just like Krishna, he can kill all the demons, but he has it done. He does kill plenty of them himself also. But a large number he has destroyed through Arjuna and Bhim and others. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Madras when one of his disciples who was accompanying him, Achyutananda, who was active in preaching in South India at the time, said to Srila Prabhupada a statement that he had heard had been said by the then head of the Madras Gauriya Math, that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had wanted preaching in the Western countries, he would have gone there himself. In other words, faulting Srila Prabhupada for going to the Western countries, notwithstanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, well-known statement, Prithivite ache jato nagar adi gram shabhatta pracha hoibe moranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my name will be preached in every town and village of the world. But someone had come up with some logical reason to point out that Srila Prabhupada was wrong in doing so. When Srila Prabhupada heard this, he immediately responded that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not go to the Western countries because he wanted to give me the credit. That is a statement that Srila Prabhupada often made that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this movement will spread to every town and village, so that's a fact, but we can choose whether or not to participate in this endeavor. We can take the credit or not. We have the opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by doing so. So we can choose to do it or we can choose not to do it, but anyway, it will happen. So we may say, well, still it hasn't gone to every town and village. It's certainly gone to many towns and villages that when it was not expected. Certainly the inhabitants of Lechmore Heath, they didn't expect to get a Hare Krishna temple here. Every town and village, including Lechmore Heath. Whoever heard of Lechmore Heath? But now it's become a pilgrimage place. But still, I haven't done any statistical survey, but I would guess that there are more towns and villages in the world that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching has not reached than that it has reached. Although there are many books in many places, working their way into many places. So we may think that, well, there's so many great acharyas have come and still the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not known in every town and village. What to speak of outside India, even within India? Most people haven't heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even those who have, they don't know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's generally presented as a one of the bhakti saints. There were so many saints of bhakti in India at that time, in various regions in that time period. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered one of them. Even in Bengal, not everyone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. I heard recently that he was being promoted by the major cultural influence in West Bengal in the last generation or so has been the Communist Party. And I heard it said that, yes, we give her atheistic, by the way, just in case you didn't happen to know that communists tend to be atheistic, that they also accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the original communist. He was for the poor and the downtrodden, and he didn't maintain caste distinctions. He accepted the Muslims. So at least people in Bengal have heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they don't all have an exactly correct conception of him according to Vaishnav Siddhanta. But most people have not even heard of him, even today. So why is that, if so many great acharyas have come? Because they all leave us some work to do. Srila Prabhupada said this in relation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he himself can deliver the whole world, but he leaves us some service to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur presented himself as helpless. Ekaki ama nahi pai bol, hari nama sankirtan. Tumi kripa kori shodha bindu diya deha krishna namadhane. He prays that I'm alone, I'm one, what can I do in the matter of preaching harinama sankirtan. But he prays to his guru, to the Vaishnavas, please give me a drop of faith, give me the mercy by which I can spread the holy names of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although in terms of preaching Krishna consciousness, it might seem, well, he didn't really do that much. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, in the next generation, did much more. And then Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, in the next generation, did much more still. But without Bhaktivinoda Thakur's contribution, it was then what we see here now, what is going on with the Krishna Conscious Movement all over the world, that would not have taken place, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he changed the tide, the course of the tide. There was the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement appeared to be lost practically, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name was known, but the Vaishnavas in Bengal were considered a band of knaves. Among respectable people, the word Vaishnav was an insult. It's like calling someone a hooligan or something like that. In English, calling them a terrorist or a fundamentalist or something like that. Not that they were fundamentalistic, but the Vaishnavs, the majority of them, it had become known as a degraded cult, particularly sexually degraded cult. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached of stepping outside the caste system or the varnashram, and some of his devotees or followers, not properly understanding this, I took it to mean that, well, we don't follow the Varnashram rules, bhakti is above the Varnashram rules, but unfortunately themselves not being properly situated in the standard of pure devotional service, they're not following the rules, meant that not they didn't transcend the rules, but they went down below the level of the rules. So in our devotional service, Varnashram is also required. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish that. And we may think, well, what's the need? Because bhakti is above Varnashram. That's true. But we're not. pure devotees, they don't follow, they may not, generally they do follow also to set an example for others. But they don't need to follow the rules, for instance, those which govern the interaction between male and female, which Srila Prabhupada stated, this is the big plan, this is the main purpose of Varnashram, to help us to transcend the attraction between male and female, which is the binding force in material existence. Pungsastriya mittani bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantim ahu. Aho griha, ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaira janasya moho yamahamma meti. Maya, illusion, means to think in terms of I, me, and mine. I, me, and what is mine? My home, my country, my friends, society, friendship and love, bank balance, all these we think of in terms of I, me, and mine, beginning with my wife. With the binding force in material existence is the attraction between male and female, so Varnashram is meant to overcome that, but those who haven't overcome it, they should act within Varnashram rules, even while practicing devotional service. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he was most exalted, he lived as if he was a householder in this world. He didn't follow the example of so many Babajis, but he lived in this world, had a large family, was a responsible government officer, and at the same time preached Krishna consciousness, and he established within the minds of the educated class of Bengal that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult is respectable, honorable. Actually, he wasn't the only one doing this, but he was the only one doing so in terms of pure devotional service. Also very influential at the same time in the same way in establishing that bhakti, the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is respectable. That was also done by Radharaman Charan Das Babaji, but then he was not considered a pure devotee in as much as he floated a new mantra, not for chanting in kirtan. And he had some other strange practices also, which we didn't get into here. But anyway, the point is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he can deliver the whole world. He did a tremendous contribution. So much to say about him, how he gave so many books, summary, giving all the siddhantas, all the conclusions of the previous acharyas in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the works of the previous acharyas, the Shatchandarbha, the six essays of Jiva Goswami, which established the Gauriya Vaishnav position, philosophical position, that is all available through the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, condensed and easy to read, very pleasant, easy to read style. So that was in some, and of course his songs, mostly in the present generation of Vaishnava, right now I'm talking about, his Bhaktivinoda Thakur is best known for his songs, which he is by no means the first writer of kirtans. songs, poems to be sung. But again, he had a unique contribution in as much as he penned many songs which are suitable for the neophyte devotees to guide them to come up to the level of pure devotional service. Others had, other Vaishnava songwriters in Bengal had mostly sung Lila Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Nama Kirtan, and Rupa Kirtan, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did that, but he also gave many didactic kirtans to instruct us, to help us. Narottam Das Thakur also did that, but not in the not in nearly as much detail as Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. So then his great contribution, Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur's contribution, even if we had millions of mouths and we were all as learned as Brihaspati to sing the glories of these great devotees, what they have given to the world, it's not possible to come to the end of their glories. But nevertheless, it seems that it might seem that they haven't done, or let's put it another way, there's a lot more to do. They've done, actually they've done so much, it was inconceivable. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, that is inconceivable. Then later, all of the great acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what he's given, prior to his coming, it was unimaginable that there could be such contributions to the Vaishnava world. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj also, his contribution was to show that what does it mean to be absorbed in love of Krishna? That others may interact with the world for the sake of preaching, but if one is actually detached from the world, he may interact with the world for preaching. Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur wasn't any less renounced than was Sakshad Vairagya Murti, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, but for the sake of interacting with the world, for the sake of benefiting it by preaching, Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur appeared to be as if living the comfortable life of a Bengali gentleman, but except that he was living in a mutt. So Gaurakishore, he demonstrated what is detachment from this world, not the Markata Bhairagya. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this phrase, monkey renunciation. A monkey also appears to be very detached, lives in the forest, doesn't have any clothes, doesn't have a fixed home, they're very renounced, is pure vegetarian. Well, not all monkeys are, mostly vegetarian. But then he's got so many girlfriends with him, and he's not saintly in his behavior, he's rather rascalish in his behavior. So all these acharyas, they've made tremendous contributions. And what to speak of our own Srila Prabhupada, by whose divine grace we are all present here. We are all in the shade of his lotus feet. Ha ha Prabhu Karo Daya Deha More Padda Chaya. We pray for the shelter in the shade of his lotus feet. His divine grace is the cumulative divine grace that is flowing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through parampara, that flow that will continue to flow. Srila Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur, in his last semi-formal address to his disciples famously said, Bhaktivinoda dhara kakano ruddha hoibena. The flow, which means the flow of the mercy, the flow of the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that will never be stopped. It will go on. But it's a group effort. It's not a one-man job. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the acharya of the whole world, he is the acharya points to Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's taking the role of a human being and pointing everyone toward Krishna, Radha Krishna, specifically Radha Krishna. But taking the role of a human, he says, Ekala Malaka Ami, Kaha Kaha Java. I'm just one gardener in the garden of garden of prem, of pure devotional service. I'm one gardener, and this prem is immense. This one drop of prem, of Krishna prem, pure love of Krishna, can drown the whole world. Of course, this is figurative, but it means to say that even though Maya is very powerful, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratya tribhir gunamaya bhavaya edamana madaf puman naiva hatyabhidatam. What's the next line? Edamana mohitang nabijana atima mebya paramavyayam. Krishna says that everyone in this world is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, therefore they do not know me, who am original and inexhaustible. And what is the nature of this maya? Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratya. Very difficult to overcome, very powerful. There's one way to overcome. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. To surrender to me. One can cross over this maya by surrendering to me. But maya is very strong. It's a quandary that, well, we can get out of maya because if we can get out of maya by surrendering to Krishna. But we don't surrender to Krishna because we're in maya. So how do you get out of this? We're caught in a trap. We find ourselves so much conditioned by the three modes of material nature that even if we try, we find ourselves, we're trapped. And what kind of efforts do we have to make to get out of maya? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavang maang prapadyante. Again the word derived from prapati, surrender, submission. It may take many lives of someone who's trying very seriously to come out of that, to come out of maya. And who will try seriously for this? Manushanang sahasreshu kaschid yadidhi siddhi. Hardly anyone's interested in even attaining, even getting free from maya. And most people don't even know they're in maya. And then most jivas, they're not even people in the sense they're not human beings. So a very difficult proposition to get out of this maya. But that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that he brings love of Krishna, which is more, one drop of love of Krishna is sufficient to overcome all the maya of all the universe, which is why Vasudev Datta, by the blessings and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can do that. And every one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do that. Brahmanda tarete shakti dhare jane jane. Every one of them is capable to remove all the distress of all the inhabitants of the universe permanently. Because even one drop of the great ocean of love of Godhead, which every pure devotee incessantly swims and floats in, even one drop from that can deliver the whole world. Then we say, well, why don't they? Well, they are. That's what they're doing. That's what they come to this world to do. But jivas also, all they have to do, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is there, that Mame kam sharanam raja, Krishna says, you surrender to me, savadhaman parityaja, Mame kam sharanam raja, ahang tva sarva papibhyo, moksha yishami masvaja. I will deliver you, surrender to me, I will deliver you. Seeing them reluctant, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give the easy process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and which is naturally attractive, that pierces through the coverings. But we're all covered by three modes of material nature, by material attachments. But the holy name of Krishna, received from the mouths of pure devotees, that pierces through the coverings, heart to heart, from the heart of a pure devotee, that enters the heart of the conditioned souls and jogs them, at least begins to wake them up. Cheto darpana marjanam, at least begins to awaken their dormant spiritual consciousness, their consciousness that I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, that he distributes the holy name, and he does so also through his followers and disciples. He says, I'm only one person. How many places can I go? Well, he's already present everywhere. Ya atmanta jami purusha iti syosyangsa vibhavaha. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praised as the indweller, the super soul within everyone's heart. But following the riti, the methodology of Naralila, of being as if a human being, he generally only appears in one place at one time, but he manifests himself through his devotees. He is present in his devotees. He's with his devotees. He manifests himself through his devotees. Krishna, he says, to Uddhava, Acharyam mang vijaniyam navamanyeta karhichit na martya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayogaru. He says that the Acharya should be known to be me. He is me, as good as me, that's understood. And should not be disrespected in any way. He should not be considered an ordinary mortal, because he is the abode of all the demigods and all the godly people, all the saintly people. So Krishna manifests himself through pure devotees, especially those who take the role of guiding others in a formal manner. They're known as acharya. Achinoti yashastrani, acharya sthapya tepi, swayam acharate yasmad, acharya tena kirtitaha. Acharya is one who knows what's in Shastra, personally observes what's in Shastra, and teaches others to do so also. So although the pure devotees, they are not obliged to follow all the rules and regulations in Shastra, because they have come to the perfection of all the rules and regulations, which is smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavya na jatuchit sarva vidhi nishedasya. Ekayor eva kinkaraha. Etayor eva kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations in the Shastra, they simply come to this point, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And all the other rules are subservient to this rule. And even if one doesn't follow any other rule, if one follows this rule, well, it's two rules, but that is condensed in one also. If one always thinks of Krishna, then there's no question of forgetting Krishna. But then why? Because sarva vidhi nisheda, all the in Shastra there are positive injunctions, do this, and negative injunctions, don't do that. So all the vidhis, all the positive injunctions, they're all condensed into one. Always remember Krishna. And all the negative injunctions, don't do that, they're condensed into one. Don't forget Krishna. So if one follows this, then everything else is subsumed within this. So you may say, well, then you don't have to follow anything else, so you can, if you always think of Krishna, then you can go out and become a serial killer or something like this. But no. Because pure devotee of Krishna has no desire to become a serial killer. Pure devotee of Krishna is sarva bhuta hite rata. He always interested in the benefit of others. If he could benefit them by killing them, he would do so. Actually, Krishna did tell Arjuna to kill them, and there was benefit for them, but that's not in this age, in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So pure devotees, they don't do any harm to anyone, rather they do good for them. But they may not follow all the rules and regulations. Like Srila Vamsidas Babaji, he didn't follow any rules and regulations either in his spiritual life. He didn't chant any rounds. He had deities, but he didn't worship them according to any rules or regulations. Even the world, even the rules of this world, like generally people sleep at night. Well, they used to. Now with modern life, people have become rakshasas. The general term in Ramayana for rakshasa, or the followers of Ravana, is nishacha, which means those who stay awake at night. So anyway, civilized people, they unless they've completely overcome sleeping, they sleep at night, and in the day they're active. And they eat at regulated times, yukta ahara viharasya, and sleep at regulated times. And they eat and sleep. But Vamsidas Babaji, he often didn't eat or sleep. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan also, nidra ahara vihara kadi vijitau. Some measure of worldly decorum he observed by wearing a kupin most of the time. Sometimes he would bathe, sometimes he wouldn't. He didn't have a time schedule per se. When he was traveling to Puri, some devotees were traveling with him. They had a really hard time keeping up with him because he would sometimes just get in the middle of the night, he'd just move on. He didn't wake them up and say, hey, I'm moving on. He probably wasn't even cognizant that they were there. He'd go for days without eating or without passing urine or stool or bathing or any such thing. So it may seem that he's a madman or a savage or something like this, but no, he's completely absorbed in love of Krishna, not following the rules of Shastra, of how to worship Krishna, nor even following the rules of the material world in respect to the body, because generally if we don't eat, sleep, we become dysfunctional very soon. But he didn't, because he was really beyond the body. So the acharyas, they may follow the rules and regulations just to show others, to benefit others, and insist these should be followed. We will be benefited by doing so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna prema. How did he do so? Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kare Shapashada Shiyadhama Shaha Abhatare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls, has descended into the world along with his associates and with his own dham, Navadvip dham. Atantar durlabha prema karibare dan shikai sharanagati bhakatera pran. For the sake of teaching, for the sake of giving, sorry, you don't teach, we don't teach prema, it's not something to be taught. But for the sake of giving that extremely rare to be attained, prema, pure love of Krishna, to the fallen souls, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught the process of Sharanagati. So these are the first lines of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's famous collection of songs called Sharanagati. So the first principles of Sharanagati, at least in the Sanskrit verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his collection of songs, puts Dainya first, humility, or the sense of thinking myself very fallen and low. But in the Sanskrit verse, which comes Anukul Yasya Sankalpa, Pratikul Yasya Varjanam, one should know what is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness and accept everything that is favorable, and what is unfavorable one should reject. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give pure love of Krishna. There is a process that he gave, scientific process. Krishna is not bound up by the rules and regulations. It's not that if we follow rules and regulations that Krishna is bound to appear in our hearts. But he has given, Krishna has given rules and regulations because by following them, we'll automatically act in a way that is favorable for advancing in order in devotional service. Of course, as Srila Prabhupada notes in his introductory words to the Nectar of Instruction, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So it's also possible to follow all these rules and regulations, but if we do not have a motive, a pure motive to fully surrender to Krishna, then we may follow the rules and regulations but not actually make advancement. That doesn't mean the rules and regulations are of no value, they are of immense value. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who preached Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Harayan Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, Stevana, Stevagati, Aranyata. He preached that in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for reaching the goal of pure love of Krishna but chanting the holy names. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this analysis, subsumed even the chanting of the holy names within the process of Sharanagati. That's also, it's because actually, what is it? What is it that we're doing in becoming followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That is that we take up the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process to become fully surrendered to Krishna. And then from that, when one fully gives oneself to Krishna, that is the atma prakshepa, it's giving oneself to Krishna, then Krishna kindly reciprocates. He may or may not, generally he does, it's up to him. And gives himself to us. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, that has to be done with the attitude of Sharanagati, taking full shelter of Krishna, giving oneself to Krishna. Otherwise, bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade prema dhan. One may go on chanting and hearing for many lifetimes and not attain the goal, which is love of Krishna, not attain Krishna prema. That's also possible. So it's not formulaic. It's not that by chanting 64 rounds or 3 times 64 rounds or attending kirtan melas or any such thing, that there's no guarantee that one will even become purified. That doesn't mean that we should stop the chanting of Hare Krishna, but rather we should encourage, but we should know how it is to be done, with what attitude it is to be done, in which way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased and he will give us love of Krishna. The great acharyas, they can deliver the whole world, but they give us something to do. That is their mercy. They give us some service to do. Srila Prabhupada, he commented that it's speaking metaphorically, I've given the structure for a skyscraper. He's given the basis for the Krishna conscious movement. But you will have to fill it in. It is not one man's work. Srila Prabhupada often said, especially quoting from this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janma Ja Janma Sharta Kari Karo Para Upaka. Those who are fortunate to have taken human birth in the land of India should make their life successful and do beneficial activities for others. So many people in India are very interested to make their life successful. That's a commonly heard word among the middle class. Success. You have to be a success. But success means yadgatvana nivartante tadhama parama mama, to go back home, back to Godhead. So one should be success. In other words, one should be Krishna conscious and then act for the benefit of others. One's life is successful when one understands that there's no actual benefit for anyone except Krishna consciousness. Everything else is ultimately meaningless. So on that basis, one can start to benefit others by giving them Krishna consciousness or giving the gifts of the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, quoting this verse, he used to say, I am one Indian, although of course, as we learned from him, he's not Indian. No one's Indian or non-Indian, but conventionally, we say this is an Indian devotee, this is an American devotee, and so on. Srila Prabhupada said, I'm one Indian, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all the Indians to do this. So he said, if others had also taken this very seriously, then this movement could spread very well. And of course, it's not limited to Indians. We can't say, well, I'm not Indian, so I'll just sit at home and chant Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, he wanted all the devotees to take up this mission of Krishna consciousness and spread it very widely. We find, especially in Srila Prabhupada's letters, if we read through his published correspondence, we find again and again and again the whole pulse running through all of his letters is the spreading of the Krishna conscious movement, and many of his letters directly address that. I'm just going to read some quotations from two of his letters. They're actually written on the same day to different people concerning spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada wrote to Gurudas on the 5th of October 1971, do everything nicely and combinedly because we have got a heavy task before us. It's definitely a very great task to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village, and especially maintaining the purity, the focus that we're here for serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're not here to enjoy ourselves. So Srila Prabhupada continues, this Krishna conscious movement is a revolutionary process for making the godless world drop back to their original consciousness. Although it is not expected that we shall be able to turn everyone to Krishna consciousness, but if some of the leading men only can take to this understanding, tremendous good will follow for the people in general. On the very same day, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Jayapataka, I'm not sure if he was a Swami at that time. Same thing, we've got a very heavy, similar letter, but not exactly the same. We've got a very heavy task before us. That seems that Srila Prabhupada at that time was meditating on this point. We have a heavy task before us. Together we have to push on this Krishna conscious movement for a revolutionary change all over the world. It is not our manufactured movement, but it was ordered by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are simply carriers of his shoes. So let us do this duty carefully so that our life may be successful, although our attempts are not as great as they should have been. So Srila Prabhupada exhorted all his followers, his disciples, to take up Krishna consciousness very seriously and work combinedly for the benefit of others, to spread Krishna consciousness. There's much to do, many services to perform. So many programs Srila Prabhupada, especially the very well known, every follower of Srila Prabhupada must know that the distribution of his books, Srila Prabhupada gave the utmost importance to that. Also to Back to Godhead magazine, the function of Back to Godhead magazine is not the same as it was. When Srila Prabhupada was present, it was the major, what we call outreach nowadays, with the major preaching to the public, establishing temples, to run on temples is a very great task, as we see that many of our temples all over the Western world especially, they are struggling now. It's not such an easy thing to run them on. There's many, many services to perform, scientific preaching, establishing Varnashram, a major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. There's much work to do, many services. It's all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy as received through his divine grace, through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a very great opportunity for everyone to janma sartha kari karo para upakar, to make their life successful in Krishna consciousness and benefit others. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we receive through all the acharyas. And we have the opportunity to participate in this movement and ourselves receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by giving it out. This quite opposite to that which is mundane. The more we give, the more we get. Anything material, if we give it, then we lose it. You can't have your cake and eat it, as the saying goes. But with Krishna consciousness, the more we give it, the more we get. And how do we give it? Well, first of all, we don't think I'm giving it. We simply think, as Srila Prabhupada has written here, we are the carrier of the shoes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With taking his inconceivable mercy, we become media, conduits for his mercy to flow through. All we can do is pray for his mercy and try to engage in his service and pray that we may not obstruct the flow of his mercy. May the flow of his mercy, may we be instrumental in delivering that. So it's a very great opportunity to participate in this movement. And the more we do so, then the more we ourselves are benefited. The less we think about how I will be benefited and how I can participate in this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to benefit others, then the more we are benefited. Practically, although we shouldn't be slack in our sadhana or practices, but practically we don't have to think of our own benefit. Everyone's interested in their own benefit, but we don't have to think of it. If we think of the benefit of others, we can know for sure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be very kind to us. as Srila Prabhupada was once asked by his one of his disciples, is it actually possible for us to go back to Godhead in this life? Srila Prabhupada said that we're making so much effort to help others go back to Godhead, then surely Krishna, he will not leave us behind. That we put everyone on the bus, and then the bus drove off, and we're left behind. And but it's not like that. Even if we are lost, then another case, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that we're distributing these books, and we see so many materialistic people. Will it be possible for us to remember Krishna at the time of death? And Srila Prabhupada replied that those who have dedicated their life in this way, if somehow they don't remember Krishna at the time of death, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and take them back to Godhead. So it's a great opportunity to ourselves become purified and to receive the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it's also possible to go along, chug, 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 slowly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invites us to fully dedicate ourselves. But we may think, well, I can just chant a little Hare Krishna here and there, and I can go back to Godhead. Well, we may do. When Srila Prabhupada was asked that, well, if we just stay in Vrindavan and we go back to Godhead, why don't we just stay in Vrindavan? And then we go back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can do that, but it is not glorious. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan to give Vrindavan to the whole world. And another point is that love of Krishna and service to Krishna is not static. We can increase more and more and more. If we are actually desirous to serve Krishna, this is the essence of love of Krishna, is the desire to serve Krishna for His pleasure, then automatically we'll want to bring this to others also. We'll want to serve Krishna. We'll want to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wants Krishna consciousness spread to every town and village and every heart in the world. We shall want to do that. To sit in Vrindavan, that is glorious, but more so is to bring consciousness of Vrindavan to the whole world. We also have the tendency in material life to find some comfortable situation in which we can live peacefully, or maybe not peacefully, and enjoy, either live for sense gratification or live very peacefully. We may also desire to become a sadhu and just be very peaceful and do a little bhajan here and there, maybe give a little talk here and there, and be very much in the mode of goodness, and be nice, and everyone will like us, and we'll like everyone, but not really stretch ourselves. We find ourselves in a comfort, what they call the comfort zone. Just do your service, do your routine, relax a little. But Srila Prabhupada showed us by his example what it means to completely give ourselves to Krishna. Forswearing bodily comforts, physical health. Of course, it's not that Srila Prabhupada was callous to his health. Actually, his daily routine, in some ways, it could be said that it was set up to facilitate his, of course, it was set up to facilitate his service, but for instance, that he stopped taking bath in the morning after he had a stroke. He would in the early morning. That he went on a morning walk every day. That he kept very regulated. So these were all considerations for health, although his body is transcendental, but as long as the body is within the world, mostly the bodies, they work, even of pure devotees, they work as if under the control of the material energy, to show us neophytes how we should regulate our lives. So it's not that we're callous to bodily needs, because we need this body for serving Krishna, but the overwhelming consideration, the only consideration in Srila Prabhupada's activities was how to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching it. And within that, so many other considerations may come, but he fully gave himself to Krishna. And we can also do so. He gave us the opportunity to do so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I can't do this all by myself. Srila Prabhupada says, it is not one man's work. He's giving us the opportunity to engage in service, to dedicate ourselves, to give ourselves with the faith that Krishna, he will be pleased by doing so. Krishna, if we give ourselves to Krishna, Krishna is not an ingrate. Krishna will not forget us or reject us. Certainly Krishna will be pleased. We have the faith that we heard this from Srila Prabhupada, that if we give ourselves to this preaching of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will certainly be very pleased. And that is the goal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna prema. What is Krishna prema? The symptom of one who is in Krishna prema is that he only wants to please Krishna. So here is the opportunity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Priti vite ache jato nagaradi gram sabatra prachahoi be morana. My name will be preached in every town and village. How will that be? Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh. Amarangya guru hoya taro edesh. In every town and village of this world, Krishna consciousness is to be preached. How will that be? That individuals will go and preach Krishna consciousness, become gurus, and deliver the world. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. So we can act. Now we have the opportunity. This human life is very rare. By some great fortune, we were able to attain the human birth in the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is flowing. This great opportunity, which we cannot expect to get in future. Even the human birth is very, very rarely achieved. What to speak of the human birth in the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is flowing. So we can take this opportunity so that at least at the time of death we can feel at least we tried to do something. Not that we should be disappointed at the time of death. Oh, I could have done much better. But we should now, in this short time before we have to leave this body, for every one of us, it's a short time before we have to leave this body, we can do in whatever little time is there to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Is there any question or comment, please? Yes, please.
First of all, if I may, I'd like to thank you very much for that.
Can I, please, I always, every time I come to the manor, I always give you a little stick. So could you kindly just turn a little bit so that you're not showing your back to Radha Gokulananda? Thank you. Yeah, well, you can. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So,
first of all, I'd like to thank you for a very bad class, which is very interesting. And secondly, if I may also say so, your Bengali pronunciation is very impressive. Thank you. The question I have.
I spent many years in Bengal.
The question I have is this: there is a tacit implication or implied presumption that if somebody keeps his nose clean, in the sense that one and observe the regulative principles very rigorously, as Chan 16 does, then he will buy a one-way ticket to Vaikuntha or whatever.
Yeah.
On the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Karmaniya Bodhikara Shurma Palashirudha. That means you can do whatever you like, but the result of your work, that is not in your hands. Whether you succeed or not, that is up to me. Actually, the translation by Max Muller of something similar from the Quran, exactly same thing. That is, in German, he translated it as Arbeit macht frei, which the Nazis simply did in their death camps, unfortunately. So, what is your comment, please, on this?
What is our comment?
Yes.
Do we get a one-way ticket? Are we guaranteed to go back home to God? No, we're dependent on the mercy of Krishna. 16 plus 4 equals BTG. 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles, we go back to Godhead. But that's contingent on Krishna's mercy. I also quoted that Bahujanma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade premadham. That one can, even after many lifetimes of hearing and chanting, one may not attain love of Krishna. That's ultimately dependent on Krishna's mercy. But generally Krishna is very pleased to give his mercy to those who are actually begging for his mercy. But he's not obliged to. We may chant, but if we don't cultivate an attitude of devotion, if we're not actually praying when we chant Hare Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. If we're not cultivating that attitude, then the chanting of Hare Krishna is only lip deep. It's not considered actual chanting. Prema Bibharata, Jagadananda Pandit says, what is that? Ashadu Sange Bhai Krishna Naam Nahi Hoy Naam Akhor Bohire Bhote Tobu Naam Khabu Noi. He says that if we're not chanting in the association of devotees, then we may make a sound of the holy names, but it's not the holy names, because Krishna, he doesn't manifest himself it's not that the holy name, what is the holy name of Krishna? We can make some scientific summary the holy name of Krishna, when the tongue, the lips, and the palate are combined in a certain way with air coming up through the windpipe, then a certain sound is produced, and that's called the holy name. But that's not the holy name. The holy name comes from the pure heart of a devotee. And Krishna's not obliged. We can go to India and say, "Oh, I bought some deities." You can't buy deities. You can't buy Krishna. We pray to Krishna, please manifest yourself in this form. So the idea that I'm chanting Hare Krishna, well, are we really? We have to pray to Krishna, be pleased to appear on my tongue, be pleased to appear in my heart. It's the same time there are rules and regulations to follow, and if we follow them, then that is conducive for devotional service. And among them is the first, that from which all others follow, is to associate with devotees, which means to hear from them, to understand what is devotional service, so that we can imbibe the attitude of pure devotion to Krishna, without which following rules is useless. But that doesn't mean we should stop following the rules and say, well, I just have bhakti, I don't need to follow the rules, because that's also misunderstanding, misinterpretation. Is there any other point, please? Yes, please. Yeah, everyone says that. It's a formality. It's become a formality. Yeah, thank you for the wonderful class. Okay, what's the question? How can we cooperate better together? That may be a big topic, but the main thing is we should understand what we're supposed to be doing. Isn't it? Otherwise we can cooperate, but we may cooperate very well, but we don't really do much. We can have a great cooperation to cook a big feast, and we all sit and enjoy it. But that doesn't help to spread Krishna consciousness, even though we cooperate very nicely. So the first thing we should understand is what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be giving the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What are those teachings? We should understand very well. So the first thing, even before we start to cooperate, is to understand Siddhanta. What is it actually that we're supposed to be doing here? That's the first thing. Then we cooperate on the basis of serving Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. Then we have to see what are their instructions. So first thing, we have to understand very clearly what is sambandha, abhideya and prayojan. What is the goal of life? What is our relationship with Krishna? How to act in such a way that we can go from understanding our relationship with Krishna to actually enter into that understanding. So all these things have to be understood very clearly on the basis of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Anything else? Please, yeah. The old Brahmana? In Varanasi. The Prakashan and the Mayavadis, they can't chant the name of Krishna. Yeah, Mayavadis are most envious. So someone may just with lip service, they can say the name Krishna. At least they're doing lip service. There are some who may be so envious, they're so envious, they won't even have lip service named to Krishna. Even that lip service name of Krishna can save us from going to hell. It won't give love of Krishna. Some lady had a question? Yeah. Why the scripture always what? Speaks from the angle of man? Men. Why does the scripture always speak for men? Because the male form, among humans, the male form is most conducive for spiritual realization. The female form is generally considered an obstacle on the path of spiritual realization. What is that? I quoted that. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya. That all comes from this vistar, this expansion of material attachments. Begins with the attachment to woman. Shastra is very deeply and systematically taught to boys in the Gurukul who later when they marry, they're supposed to teach it to their wife. That is the general understanding, that the female form is not very suitable for self-realization. So that is the normal practice, that scripture is directed toward men. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, as Krishna himself says, that Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim. Everyone, men, and among men also, particularly among those who are Brahma Jignasa, those who are fit to inquire about the nature of Brahman. So even when we say men, the scripture is particularly directed toward Brahmin men, not by caste. So Krishna says that even those who are not generally considered suitable, they can also attain the highest destination. And he gives the example of women, merchants, vaishyas, that means, and shudras. So that, in brief, is why the scriptures, they are directed toward men, as you asked. Mm.